Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you broadcasts from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Now time for quiz shows. In this hour, later on, it's Can You Top This from 1947. But first, an episode from a series considered to be rare in terms of its survival from radio's yesteryear called On Your Mark, broadcast via WOR in New York and hosted by the man who played Superman on radio for many years, Bud Collier. This episode was first heard on October 6th, 1948.
Get on your mark, get set, go. Yes, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. WOR is happy to bring you today's transcribed session of On Your Mark, and our program pays off in cash, tickets to a hit show, and a jackpot of worthwhile merchandises for a correct answer to our daily jackpot question. Now, raring to go, here once again is one of radio's favorite MCs, Bud Collier.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you, Paul Luther. Now, everybody get on your mark here with us and listen closely while we tell you a little bit about how we play our game. We have on our stage a group of contestants whom we've selected from our studio audience, and one by one, they are going to be invited to answer a series of four questions. We call these questions one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. The one for the money question, if answered correctly, pays off in money, $1 to $10 possibly, depending upon the contestant's spinning of a large wheel here on the stage. A right answer to the two for the show question means two tickets to a Broadway show. Then the three to get ready question, which merely gets our contestant ready for the four to go or jackpot question. We'll tell you what's in that jackpot of ours in just a few minutes, but in the meantime, let's meet our first contestant. Who is it, Paul?
Well, it happens to be Miss Alvina Safarik of Forest Hills, Long Island, who is a bookkeeper. Miss Safarik, meet Bud Collier.
Hello, Bud.
Hello, Miss Safarik. How are you?
Fine, thank
Step
you.
Step up and get on your mark here. Give me a good handshake. Let me get in. That's the
I'm
idea.
Too nervous.
I should have grabbed my fingers right by the finger there, and I couldn't get a good handshake there. You're too nervous, Miss Safarik?
Yes.
I don't believe that. How long have you been a bookkeeper?
More years than I'd like to say.
You wouldn't like to say how many years, huh? Have you always lived out there in Forest Hills?
It'll be 25 years next spring.
25 years. You like it out there, huh?
Very much.
A lot of friends out there, neighbors and so forth.
Yes,
who are nice
sure
to you. It's always nice, isn't it, to get a lot of acquaintances around you that make life really worthwhile, whether you're home,
true,
at work, or anywhere
true
else. Very important. Well, Miss Safarik, where are you from originally?
New York.
New York City?
That's
you
right
born here?
That's right.
You were.
Mm-hmm.
So was I. We're very rare. Did you know that? There aren't many of us, Miss Safarik. Did you meet Paul Luther on the way up?
Yes,
Paul,
I
say
did
hello to Miss Safarik.
How do you do, Miss Safarik? Glad you're here today.
Thank you.
Have you heard about our running question yet?
Something about the gout?
Yes, you
heard it.
Heard
about
well,
it.
Well, we're going to tell you about that right
listen
now.
We got to listen.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have.
All right, Miss Safarik. Let's ask you our running question right now. First of all, explaining to those who don't know what it is, we have this question that we ask of each contestant. This one's been running now for about a week, and no one has guessed the answer. The answer is a little gag, a little joke, but nevertheless, it fits the question. It is a good answer. And if you guess it, you move right up into what we call our charm circle, winning $5 on the way and two tickets to the show. So you don't have to answer any more questions. You may guess as many answers as you like, and you may keep on guessing even while you're being asked your one for the money and your two for the show questions, okay?
Yes.
Well, the question, I'll phrase it for you now, even though you have probably heard it, you said you had, is, why should a man troubled with gout make his will? Miss Safarik?
If he ever wants to see his leg again, he ought to first make a legacy.
Well, that's a good twist there.
Good,
it's
yeah
all right. Yeah,
yeah.
Put her name down along with that sailor that gave us that good answer the other day, will you, Paul?
You mean it isn't right?
No, it isn't right, but it's awful good. It's a good guess, and if we don't come up with a correct answer by the end of a year or two, we may, you know, have all these people that got the good ones back here and have a runoff and have a judging on it. Well, all right, Mr. Farrick, you can guess again as we go along, but let's get into your first question, your one-for-the-money question. You said you knew something about prominent ladies. And here is the first one for you. Subject matter is called a model lady. What is the name of the contemporary sculptress who specializes in the races of mankind? The races of mankind.
Somebody in the audience said, I don't know it.
What is the name of the contemporary sculptress who specializes in the races of mankind? She's quite a well-known sculptress. Miss Safarik?
Oh, I'm sorry.
First name is much like yours, except there's an M ahead of it.
Malvina?
That part's right. Malvina who? Malvina is her first name. What is her last name? I'll give you five more seconds, Miss Safarik.
I'm sorry.
She's very well known as a sculptress.
I think
no?
I'm flunk.
Oh, too bad. Malvina Hoffman. Very well known, and her big specialty are the races of mankind. You don't go away. You stay with us. You may still win two tickets to the RKO Palace Theater. Wouldn't you like to?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, that's wonderful. You can go up there and see Betty Grable and Lady in Ermine and Victor Mature and Fury at Furnace Creek. Here is your second question. See how you can do with this one. This is your two-for-the-show question. She founded Hull House, H-U-L-L House, and devoted her life to aiding the poor. Who was she? Who was she? Your first name was Jane, Miss Safarik.
Jane Austen?
No, you're close, though. The initial is correct. Jane, something beginning with A. Short name, two-syllable name. Give you 5 seconds, Miss Safarik.
Oh, I should know that. I worked for the YWCA.
Did you? I'm sorry. Jane Addams. Jane Addams. I'm very sorry, Mr. Farrick. But come back again and see us sometime. We'd like to have you as our guest on Your Mark. All right, Paul, who's next?
Well, I have a gentleman here whose category, I believe, has to do with inventions. But before we bring him to the microphone, let's listen for just a moment. All right, Bud, and I'd like to have you at this time meet Gary Furman of the Bronx, who says at the moment he's unemployed, but his trade is a printer. Gary, step up to the microphone.
Hello, Gary. Hello. How are you? Happy to meet you here this afternoon.
Here,
step up and get on your mark with us. Are you married, Gary?
Yes, sir.
You are. Any children?
2 children, sir.
Have you really? How old are they?
8 and 10, sir.
8 and 10. Isn't that wonderful? Any of them here with you today?
No, sir.
Are they in school?
Yes, sir.
That's wonderful. Where do you live, Gary?
In the Bronx, New York, sir.
In the Bronx. Your wife here with you?
No, sir.
She's home waiting for those kids to come home from school,
right.
I guess,
exactly.
Isn't she? How long have you been unemployed, Gary?
About 2 months.
Well, I sure hope it isn't more than 2 days more before you're back at some steady employment. Would you like to get back as a printer?
Darn right, I would.
All right. Well, now, anybody who has a print shop that would like a good printer that happens to be listening in, we got a guy right here who might like a job. So either call us up here if you want to, or else get in touch with Gary Furman here, and we'll see if we can't get him a job.
What's his home address? Let's have his phone number and home address.
What is
no
your what
phone?
Is, no phone. No, what's
737
your home address?
737 East Tremont Avenue.
737 East Tremont Avenue?
That's right, sir.
All right, 737 East Tremont Avenue, Bronx, New York, Gary Furman, F-U-R-M-A-N. We hope maybe that brings you a bit of luck, Gary.
Hope so.
If that works, we can take our 10% every weekend.
No, we'll turn that over to those 2 children, Gary. That guy, Paul Luther, you know what he is? We're paying out the money. Have you heard our show, Gary?
Yes, I have.
He really is murder. If you prime loose from anything more than $1, you break his
heart.
You're
lucky, huh?
It really is something, believe me. All right, Gary, how about your answer to our running question? Let's see what you might do with it. Why do you think a man troubled with gout should make his will? Why do you think a man troubled with gout should make his will? Guess the answer, you move right up into our charm circle, winning $5 and 2 tickets on the way. Want to take a guess?
No, I think I have no guess.
No guess at all? No, what's the matter, Paul? All right, here we go. Let's move along into your first question. Paul was wig-wagging at me. I didn't know whether he was going to try to hope you put the hex on you there so you couldn't guess the answer. Here's your regular question. Inventions is the subject matter of your one-for-the-money question. Montgolfier, M-O-N-T-G-O-L-F-I-E-R, is credited with inventing what? What? A big round...
Dynamo.
No. I'll tell you this. It had to do with aeronautics.
Aerodynamics.
No. He invented something connected with aeronautics. Connected something had to do with aeronautics. What do you think it might have been, Gary Furman?
Siren.
No. It had to do with aeronautics. Had to do with aeronautics, Gary.
What time does it go up, Bud? Do you know?
What? What he invented, you mean?
Yes.
It makes an ascension, I guess, around 5. I don't know.
I see.
It can ascend almost any time.
Balloon?
A balloon! That's right, Gary! Step over and spin our money wheel! All right, sir.
All right.
Step over our money wheel. You may get in one of those 4 little tiny slots we have there and win $10, or anyway from $1 to $5, depending upon where you spin it. You win what you spin. Watch that wheel. It's stopping at $3. $3 for Gary Furman of the Bronx.
Thank you,
all right, here we go into your second question. See how well you know this one. 2 for the show riding on this. For what is Gottlieb Daimler remembered? Daimler, a Daimler something. A Daimler something. What did he invent? What did he invent? It's used, the principle of it is used today constantly.
Daimler?
Daimler, D-A-I-M-L-E-R. D-A-I-M-L-E-R. What do you think it was, Gary? Huh?
Give me a hint.
Give you a hint?
Sorry.
No, I can't very well give you any more hints now. What do you think? He was the inventor of something, the first something. It's used constantly today. Constantly today. Used in something that is very necessary.
Refrigeration?
No, I'm sorry, Gary. He was the inventor of the first internal combustion gas engine, which is used now, of course, in automobiles all over the place. All right, Gary, thanks very much.
Thank you
very
much.
We hope something comes by way of a job for you very soon. Come back and see us, will you, real soon. All right, thanks very much, Gary Furman, the Bronx. And let's see who's next, Paul.
Oh, I have a lady here, Bud, Mrs. Frieda Blanche of Brooklyn, formerly from Vienna, who is an interpreter, she says, and is also a housewife and says she speaks many languages. Is that right?
That's right.
We're going to try you out in a few of those in just a moment. All right, Bud.
Okay, Mrs. Frieda Blanche of Brooklyn. Where are you from originally?
Vienna.
Vienna. I see. Were you born in Vienna?
I was born in Vienna. I studied in Vienna.
I see. Was your husband born in Vienna, too?
No, he's American.
Where did you meet him, may I ask?
Right here.
Right here in America. What brought you over here? Originally, did you come over here to live here, or did
here
you come
a
to visit?
Girl, and I went
Were you with your mother and father?
And I went back to study because I took up languages in Vienna.
I see. How many languages do you speak, Mrs.?
Well, every foreign language.
Do you
most
really?
Most every. German, Polish, Russian, Italian, Hebrew, everyone.
Isn't that wonderful? Believe me, that's a marvelous gift to have a gift of tongues like that. You can,
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Oh, I think it is. I think anything that, develops...
You speak some languages?
Do I?
I mean, German.
He speaks two languages, American and English.
I used to be able to speak a little Spanish, not very much. ¿Habla usted español?
Well, Spanish is like Italian.
You mean I've got you that I... Something you can't... Well, that's...
Capisce
italiano. Muy interesante. Muy interesante.
Capisce italiano.
We'll drop that right there, Mrs. Blanche.
Well, Spanish, they don't teach in out in the East.
Well, I picked the safe one then, didn't I? I sure did.
That's an American.
Tell me, do you have any children, Mrs. Blanche?
Yes, I have.
How many?
Three.
Three children. How old are they?
22,
20, 18. Isn't that marvelous? Boys, are they mixed up, boys and girls? Or?
Two boys and one daughter.
Two boys and one daughter. Bet you're mighty proud of them, aren't you?
I am.
You're a very rich woman, believe me, to have a nice family like that. All right, Mrs. Blanche.
All college graduates.
All college graduates. What
Except
are they doing?
Except the youngest one is still in college.
She's still in. Is that the boy?
He's still
in college. I see. What are the other two doing now?
One is an engineer, and my daughter graduated college for accounting.
I see.
She's married.
She's married. Mm-hmm. Any grandchildren yet?
Not yet.
Not yet, but you'll be happy when they get them, won't you? All right, Mrs. Blanche, how about your... Paul, what's the matter?
Nothing. I just wanted to say that I went through college with high marks.
You certainly did.
Good old Hyman Marks. I wonder whatever happened to him.
I don't know. That's what we have to put up with, Mrs. Blanche, you see? All right, Paul, you stay over there and hang on to that money. Here we go, Mrs. Blanche. What is your answer to our running question? Why do you think a man troubled with gout should make his will?
Isn't that blood disease in the joints?
That part is right. You mean he should stay out of those joints or something?
I don't know. He made the will, account he has the disease, you know?
Well, that's not the answer, but it's a good guess. However, let's move into your regular category here and see how well you do. Here we are, Miss Blanche. This is your first one-for-the-money question. You can guess again if you want as you go along.
Yeah.
Any number of guesses that you want. States. Which state, for one-for-the-money, was first to ratify the Constitution? Which state was first to ratify the Constitution? I'll really confuse you here. Do you remember that old thing we used to do in school, Paul? If Mississippi bought a New Jersey, what would Delaware? Wait a minute, Alaska?
No, I don't. That was before my time.
Was it?
They
really?
Outlawed that in 1905.
I'm glad to know something was beyond you. Now, one of the states that I mentioned there is
Mississippi.
The one.
Mississippi.
No, no.
Delaware.
You got it. Delaware. All right. Step over and spin our money wheel.
I made a mistake because I'm
one of the $5 of yours, Mrs. Blanche. Go ahead there. Spin around. No, clockwise. That's the idea. Give her a spin. Let's see what you come to. $1 to $5 or possibly 10 if it stops in that one little slot which occurs four times on the wheel and which pays off 10 good American dollars. Good. Oh, just past the 110. It's down another 5, 4, 3,
no!
2.
No!
Oh, I just missed it. Just missed it, Paul. I want you to verify it, though, Mrs. Blanche. No, and I'm afraid it isn't. Take a look at it. Take a look. We want to be sure that you're satisfied. It has to stop right in that one little slot there. You got $2 away from Paul, but you gave him heart failure, too. All right, here is your second question. Two tickets for the show riding on this one. What county of a state returned to the Union in July 1945? It had remained seceded from the Union until 1945, one county of one state. Obviously, it must be one of the Confederacy, of the former Confederacy. What county returned to the Union in July 1945? It was a big play in the papers about it.
I remember.
At the time, and another one recently in reference to it. I can give you 5 more seconds, Mrs. Blanche. 3, 2, 1... Sorry, your time is up. It was the free state of Dade County, Georgia. But thank you, Mrs. Blanche, for being our guest this afternoon. And now, Paul, who is next?
Well, the gentleman we have here, whose category of questions, I believe, has to do something with famous men, right? And before I introduce him, though, I would just like to say that, ladies and gentlemen listening, This will be our final broadcast until the end of the World Series. Well, it's on your mark, and here's Bud Collier ready to introduce now Morris Libros of the Bronx, who works at an aircraft field. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I work out in Wright's.
And where?
Wright's
Field?
Wright's Aeronautical.
What kind of gum is that you have, sir?
Well, dentine.
Then do you want me to take it from you now? I'll put it in this dollar bill. Okay.
Let him chew, for heaven's sake. Let him chew
it. Have you got any more? Give me a piece.
Put it back in your mouth and chew it, Morris. For heaven's sake, be happy.
Thank you very much. I got some.
He doesn't dare chew it. That plate of his will come out. He won't be able to talk. Morris, step up and get on your mark with us this afternoon. How long have you been working out there at Wright's Aeronautical Field or whatever it is? Is that what it's called, Wright's Aeronautical?
No, it's Wright's Aeronautical Corporation.
I see, Wright's Aeronautical Corporation. Out where?
Out in New Jersey.
In New Jersey, I see. How long have you been with them?
Oh, about 15 months
now. And in what capacity? What do you do?
Well, I'm on the burr bench now. I originally was...
On the what?
Burr bench.
What does that mean?
Bench hand.
Oh, I see. Burr is something...
Well, taking sharp edges off of...
Pole. I see. All right, Morris. Are you married, sir?
No, sir.
You're not, I see. And have any intentions along that line?
Well, sometime, but not right now.
I see. Have a young lady in mind, though.
Yeah.
That's very good. All right, Morris, how about your answer to our running question? You want to take a guess at it? Why should a man troubled with gout make his will?
Well, I think that if he's in doubt, he should have some security, leave some security for his wife and children. If he has any children or wife, he should leave something for them in their future when he is gone.
Don't stop, Morris. It's
all. No, that's about all.
Is that all you can think of at the moment? Well, that's not the guess, but anyway, that's really went around the hill to get there. But guess again as you go along. You may hit it and may move over into our charm circle and try for our jackpot. Incidentally, Paul, we haven't told anybody what's in our jackpot. Suppose we tell them shall we?
I hate myself for not doing this earlier. Well, in the jackpot right now, we have a lovely Parker pen and pencil set for a lifetime of easy writing.
A $25 steamer basket of delicious Loft candies famous for purity.
For the man of the family, a $50 set of Mastercraft matched flame grain imported briar pipes.
A $35 overnight suitcase made by Indestructo, a fine name for fine luggage.
A famous Delta pop-down toaster, the only automatic toaster of its kind.
And a handsome DeWalt table model radio styled with a new streamlined Catalan plastic case.
There you are.
That's what's in there. Let's see if you get up that far now. Morris Libros of the Bronx, what is your answer to this, your one-for-the-money question? Here we go. Famous men, the inscription upon the tomb of a great general in New York City consists of the words, "Let us have peace." Whose tomb is it?
Lincoln's.
No, I'm sorry. New York City. Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh.
Ulysses S. Grant. I'm sorry, Morris. Here's your next question. Listen carefully now. Don't jump the gun on it too much. Because it's necessary, we can always read the question again. Here's your second one. Civil War leaders, two for the show on this. Jefferson Davis was the first and only president of the Confederacy during the Civil War. Following the end of the war and his subsequent release from prison, what became of him? What became of him following his release from prison after the end of the Civil War?
I think he was tried by the
well, that's
the
true.
Union.
And he was imprisoned. That part is true. And then what became of him after he got out of prison?
Well, he retired, I guess.
That's also correct. I think we're going to give you credit on that. He visited Europe and spent the rest of his life in retirement, during which he wrote The Rise and Fall of the Confederate Government. All right, Morris Libros, congratulations for winning two tickets to the show, and thank you for being our guest this afternoon. All right, Paul, who is our next contestant?
I have a young lady. Oh, you didn't have to do that. This young lady took her gum out. She's coming up. I thought I was going to talk about it. It's Mrs. Lila Muir of St. Albans, Long Island, who is a housewife. Mrs. Muir? Bud Collier.
Hello, Ms. Muir. How are you? Step up and get on your mark with us this afternoon. Speak up so we can hear you. You're a housewife, Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Where's your home originally?
Georgia.
Whereabouts in Georgia?
Columbus. Fort Benning.
Did you know the answer to that question, that Dade County question, did you? How did that happen to stay out of the Union such a long time?
I don't know.
Just one of those funny little quirks, wasn't it?
It was a
free county down there, and so it wasn't didn't go along with the return to the Union of the state. It had its own little autonomy there, I guess. Do you have any children, Ms. Muir?
Yes.
How many?
Well, I have a 10-month-old daughter.
Hmm?
And I have a 9-year-old son.
Uh-huh.
And I have an 8-year-old stepson.
8-year-old stepson? Uh-huh. Well, you've got a nice family there, haven't you?
Yes.
That's wonderful. What does your husband do?
He's in the Navy.
In the Navy? Is he out at sea or is he stationed on shore?
He's stationed at St. Albans.
That makes it nice, doesn't he? In the hospital there? Well, now tell me, Mrs. Muir, what is your guess to the answer of our running question? Why do you think a man troubled with gout should make his will? Mrs. Lila Muir of St. Albans, Long Island, a housewife of a sailor.
Well, he can't go out until he can't go out without his leg, you see.
Well,
that's a good one.
It's all right. People are really sticking this legacy around, aren't they? That's the one they're working on. Well, that's not the answer we're after, but it's a good guess, Ms. Muir. Let's move on to your regular category now and see how well you can do on the one for the money question. Maybe you can break Paul's heart here. You want to try? And you can guess on the other one as you go along. If you think of another answer, go right ahead on the running question. Personal habits is the subject matter of your first one, your one for the money question, about how much of the average person's life is spent in sleeping. Would you say about one-third, one-half, or two-thirds? About how much of the average person's life is spent in sleeping? A third is quite right. Step over and spin our money wheel. Step over and spin our money wheel, Miss Muir. Give it a spin. There we go. Let's see where it stops. If it stops in any one of those four little tiny spots on the wheel, it may mean $10. It's getting closer, closer. Oh, it missed by one peg again. By one peg, stopped on $3. Oh, Mrs. Muir. No idea what you're doing to Paul, believe me.
Remind me for thanking the boy who wired this wheel.
I certainly will. All right, here's your second question. Two for the show, and that was really close, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, are you satisfied that it's three?
Sure.
All right, I just want to make sure that you're happy about it. Not happy about it, but satisfied.
No.
That's what it is. Here's your second question, personal habits again. Does the average person's weight vary with the seasons of the year? Does the average person's weight vary with the seasons of the year? Mrs. Lila Muir?
Yes, I think
yes,
so.
Yes, it does. They usually weigh the most in September and the least in February. You are the first one to move up now and maybe qualify to get into the charm circle. Let's see if you can answer your three-to-get-ready question. What state is known as the North Star State? What state is known as the North Star State? You know, every state has a nickname. What state is known as the North Star State? And give you five more seconds, Mrs. Muir. Five more seconds.
Texas?
No, I'm sorry, it's Minnesota. Minnesota. But anyway, you've won two tickets to the show and $3. Congratulations, and thank you for being our guest this afternoon. All right, Paul, who is next?
Yes, say hello to George Clower, Bud, of Arlington, Virginia, who is in the Navy. Here, George.
Hi, George. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm glad to know you,
Bud. How come you're in civvies here today? You on leave?
Yes, sir.
How much leave do you have?
Oh, I have about 30 days.
Oh, that's good. Good leave. You here alone or with your wife?
I'm with my wife.
Are you? Where is she?
In the second
row. Hi there, Miss Clower. Keep your fingers crossed there now so maybe you can win a little something here. How long have you been in the Navy, George?
9 years.
9 years, have you? Going to stay in?
A little while longer, yeah.
Do you have any children?
No, I don't.
No children. All right. Now, George, let's ask you our answer to our running question. See if you can guess the answer to it. If you do, of course, you move right up into the charm circle with no further ado. Why should a man troubled with gout make his will?
Same reason any other man should make his will.
Well, that's not the answer we're looking for, but you can guess again as we go along. Here is your regular question, your regular category. One for the money riding on this. See if you can sneak up close to that $10 mark on our money wheel as the others have so far. Animals is the subject matter. Does any other animal beside the skunk emit an odor when in danger?
Yes, sir.
Yes, they do. You're right. The mink and the weasel. Step over and spin our money wheel, George. Let's see how much you win. You win. What you spin? Give it a spin. Watch it go around and see if you sneak up on that $10 spot. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. No. Oh, $1, George. $1 for you. Let's see if you can win two tickets now to a show. Here we go.
I used to run one of those in a carnival. That's why I can't do any good.
I see. Will you step around at back of that after the show and check the wiring for us, George? Tell us if we have it wired like you had them in the carnivals. All right, here's your next question. Here we go. Two tickets for the show, and this one, animals again. What is known as an animal's dew claw, D-E-W claw? What is an animal's dew claw? Most every animal has one, not... I don't know if birds do or not, but most of the...
Oh, yes, they do.
Well, I guess they do,
sure.
Yes.
Soft pad on the bottom of their...
No, a dew claw. It has a claw in it. See, I didn't say paw. I said dew claw. What is an animal's dew claw? What do you think it is, George? Think of an animal's foot. As they walk along, what might be called a dew claw?
Hind claw, the highest one on his foot.
Situated above the foot, you mean? That's it. Absolutely right. You've won two tickets to the RKO Palace Theater where you can see Betty Grable and Lady and Ermine and Victor Mature in Fury at Furnace Creek. Let's see if you can answer one of our three-to-get-ready questions and move into the charm circle. What state is known as the Beaver State? What state is known as the Beaver State? It's out west, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, sir, I know it's in
all right, the Beaver State. I can give you five more seconds only, George. Five more seconds to go. The Beaver State. What do you say? I'm afraid your time is up, George. It's Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Oregon.
Yes,
but thank you very much for being our guest.
Hope you
enjoy the show.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations for at least winning $1 from Paul.
You.
All right, George. Who's next, Paul?
Mrs. Albert Balcom of Fitchburg, Massachusetts, a housewife, a registered nurse, and what's that last one?
Park commissioner.
A park commissioner, all right.
Well, step up here, commissioner. How are you? What does that mean, park commissioner?
Well, I'm chairman of the park commission. We have charge of parks and playgrounds in the town of Lunenburg, Massachusetts.
Is that so? Is that near Fitchburg?
Yes, 3 miles from Fitchburg.
Your home is in Fitchburg, though.
Well, our mail address is Fitchburg, and my residential is Lunenburg, so you can take
your
pick.
Little mix-ups in the postal zoning there, isn't it? All right, now, all I want to know from you, Mrs. Fitchburg, I was going to say, Mrs. Balcom, is that it?
Yes.
Is how many children you have?
I have one child and 2 grandchildren.
Well, is your child a boy or a girl?
Girl.
Uh-huh, and she's married very happily and has 2 children. What are they?
A girl and a boy.
Hey, it's really very nice, isn't it? Are you the usual type of grandmother that spoils them all?
A little bit, I think.
Most grandparents like to do that, I tell you. That's a little privilege they all seem to have. They can't very well afford to spoil their own, so they wait, and when the responsibility's not theirs, they spoil their own grandchildren. All right, well, now let's ask you a couple of questions on American history here and see how well you do after inquiring whether you think you know the answer to our running question. Why should a man troubled with gout make his will?
Well, I should say his high living had gone down to his lower extremities.
That's a very good one, too. I thought for a minute you were going to accuse him of being a heel. But anyway, here we go, Miss Balcom. That's not the answer we wanted. However, you can guess again as you go along. Here is your first question, one for the money. Subject matter is George Washington. Where did Washington bid farewell to the officers of his army? It's a very famous place here in New York City, I'll tell you that much. Where did Washington bid farewell to the officers of his army? Mrs. Albert Balcom of Fitchburg, Massachusetts, park commissioner.
In the park?
No, it wasn't. At Francis Tavern, New York City.
I don't know that.
You ever heard of it?
Never.
It's a very, very famous landmark here.
Never.
All right, your second question, 2 for the show on this one. Freedom of the United States. Again, where may you see the cradle of American liberty?
In Boston.
What is it?
Faneuil
Hall is quite right. You've won 2 tickets to the RKO Palace, where you can see Betty Grable and Lady in Ermine and Victor Mature and Fury at Furnace Creek. Thank you for being our guest.
You're welcome.
All right, friends.
How about needing a will because he didn't have any willpower?
No, but thanks for taking another guess, because it would have counted if it had been right. Well, our friends, that just about winds up today's session of On Your Mark. We'd like to say thanks to all of our fine contestants and remind you folks listening at home that if any of you would like to be our guests here in the studio, just you drop a line to On Your Mark, WOR, New York 18, New York, and tell us how many tickets you like. You may wind up winning our wonderful jackpot. And so until we meet again at the starting line, this is Bud Collier saying so long for now. Be seeing you.
Friends, On Your Mark will be back following the final game of the World Series. This has been On Your Mark.
On Your Mark, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 6th, 1948 from WOR in New York. You are listening to an hour of quiz shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levoner. Next, it's Can You Top This?, which is mostly comprised of jokes, a quiz in a way, part of NBC's Friday night lineup at 8:30 in their 8th season at this point in the series, where nearly 10 million people tuned in to this broadcast heard on December 5th, 1947.
Can You Top This? Presented by the Colgate Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Shave Creams for smoother, more comfortable shaves. Can You Top This? Starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Lawrie Jr.
Hello.
And now here's Colgate Palmolive Feet Company's Master of Ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This?, our unrehearsed carousel of chokes. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air. Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject. If Peter Donald tells your submitted story, you get $10 plus a phonograph record, personally autographed by our wits, of Peter Donald telling your story on the air. Laughs are registered on the big Colgate Palmolive laugh meter in full view of the studio audience. Each time the wits fail to top your score, you win an additional $5, which means you may win $25. So, yes, get on with the laughs. Are you ready over there, fellas?
Ready.
I guess so.
All right, here's our first joke of the evening, and it comes from Mrs. Floyd Triplett of West Jefferson, North Carolina. It's on the subject of indignation. Indignation.
Mad,
yes. Have to translate yet for Lori. All right, Pete, don't be indignant at the first joke of the evening.
Well, it seems that Mrs. Mulvaney had been working at a church bazaar all day. They had one of those rummage sales, you know, where you sell something you don't want to somebody else who can't use it at all. And finally she came home, and late in the evening, She walks in the door, and her husband was sitting there with his pipe and slippers. He says, "Hello, Molly, my darling." He says, "How was the rummage sale today?"
She says, "How was the sale?" "Ah, it was fine, it was fine. I wouldn't help out with one of them things again if I'd have to be 100.
Well, he says, "What's the matter?" He says, didn't you win the prize for selling the most articles this year again?"
She says, I did not. Mrs. O'Houlihan sold twice as much as I did." She says, "Bad cess to her. I'd like to hit her right in the mouth."
"Well, no," he says, "no, that's not the right spirit at all. I don't like to hear you talk like that. If Mrs. O'Houlihan sold that much, she must be a clever sales lady."
"Oh," she says, "she's clever, all right. She's a clever sales lady, all right. While I was helping out with one of the sales, I put down my new $20 hat, and she turned around and sold it to someone for 15 cents.
Well, Peter, the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter said 850 for that joke. So, for one time tonight at least, our three wits have a little room to barge around in. And seizing upon that opportunity first, looks like Harry Hirschfield barging in.
I heard a story the other day about a fellow took a girl out in a car for a ride, first time he'd ever taken her out. So they're riding out away. He pulls out a package of cigarettes, says, "Will you have a cigarette?" She says, "No, I don't touch the filthy stuff." Well, he says, "Do you mind if I smoke?" She says, "Yes, I do mind. I think it's a terrible habit. It's awful." He says, "Well, I got to get rid of this, Dame. I can see that." So he's riding a little further, and he takes out a flask of whiskey. He says, "Will you have a drink?" She says, "No, I don't. That's worse even than cigarettes, drinking." He says, "Do you mind if I have a drink?" She says, "Yes, I mind. I think it's awful." So they're riding away, and he says, "Will you give me a kiss?" She says, "Yes." So they kissed and hugged and necked for hours. When they got home, he took her home. She said to him, "Did you have a good time?" He said, "It was wonderful." She says, "Thanks. I've always maintained that a girl can have fun without smoking and drinking."
Well, everybody seemed to have fun with that one, Harry. 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, topping Mrs. Triplett's original 850, so she still has the $10 she started out with. Senator, how about you?
Well, I like those wacky kind of gags. The only trouble with them is that there's no happy medium with them. They either hit 1,000 or they fall flat on their kisses. You know, there's nothing in between at all. Like the time that Screwball Jake and Dopey Dildock were talking. Dopey says, "I don't like mornings. They're too early." Then another time they were talking about visiting places, and Jake said, "Hey, Dopey, was you ever in Africa?" So Dopey says, "No, I don't even know where it is." So Jake says, "Was you ever in Paris?" He said, "Yeah, I was in Paris." He said, "Are you familiar with the Rue de la Paix?" He said, "No, but I'm familiar with Rue de Valley." He says, "I know him." Well, he says, "That's fine. Do you know the Champs Elysees?" Dopey says, "What?" Jake says, "Do you know the Champs Elysees?" Dopey says, "You're nuts. The Champs Joe Louis."
Well, that's
what I mean. See, they get off there with that.
Well, it went up and down, but you did turn out to be the eventual champ along with Joe Louis, at least up until 10 o'clock tonight, Senator. Another 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, which again tops Mrs. Triplett's 850. She seems in a rut with that $10. I don't know. Let's see if we can get her out with little Joe Laurie Jr.
I'll do my best. This friend, two friends were talking. He says, "Oh, was my wife indignant this morning? Oh, was she mad? Oh, brother." He says, "What about?" He says, "What about? I almost twisted her nose off her face last night." He says, "You almost twisted her nose off her face? What'd you do that for?" He says, "I dreamt all night I forgot to shut the water off."
Well, et tu, Brutus. You sneaked up there to 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, Joe. That was a perfect round for our three wits, and since all of you did have perfect rounds, all three topped Mrs. Triplett's 850. So we send her $15 with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, a copy of the new joke book, Cream of the Crop, and in addition, we're sending Mrs. Triplett a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story. Now, here's Ron Rawson with an important message.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning teeth than Colgate Dental Cream.
Well, now let's get on with our contest of wit and humor. And here's a joke which was sent in by Mrs. P.D. Ledger of Berea, Ohio. I hope those pronunciations are correct. And the subject of the joke is penuriousness. Penuriousness.
I know. Don't tell me. Stingy.
Joe goes to the head of the class for the first time in months. Well, as long as it is stinginess, don't be too stingy about the last, Pete.
Well, this happened in the box office of a Broadway hit show, and the two ticket sellers in there, and there's a line outside, and they're doing quite a bit of business, but one ticket seller turns to the other. He says, gee, what's wrong with people these days? He says, I don't understand it. He says, they're hanging on to their cash. He says, every time I tell anybody how much a ticket is, they say, oh, is it that much? And they want to get a cheaper one. And he says, finally, you try and sell them the ticket, and they dig down in their pockets. They get out the money like it was radium or something. I don't understand what's happening to the country. Everybody seems to be hanging on to the cash. He says, these people here. He says, I don't think they'd spend a nickel to see the Statue of Liberty walking up Broadway in their BVDs or something. He says, I never saw this before. The other guy says, you want to see somebody stingy? He says, watch this guy, third in line. I've seen him before. Watch this guy. So the man gets up there, he's third in line, and he gets second. He gets up to the window. Instead of buying a ticket, he turns around and he runs back to the end of the line again. He does this six times. Every time he gets up the window, he turns around and he runs back to the end of the line. I says, well, what's that got to do with stinginess? He says, that guy is wacky. He says, no. He says, he's not nuts at all. He says, but he's so stingy that he keeps going back to the end of the line so he'll be the last one to part with his money.
Well, Mrs. Ledger will be happy to know you got 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive Laugh Meter that time with that one, Peter. And for the first time tonight, our three wits have no place to go except to the top of the meter, and then we defy them. Two hands are upraised out of a possible three, so we'll take the one in the middle. That belongs to Joe Laurie, Jr.
Well, Montgomery's walking along with his wife and 10 kids, all sizes, all 10 little kids, see? So they're walking and walking, the kids are tied, and his tied, and his wife is tied, and finally, he gets up to the curb and says, taxi! Taxi stops. Yes, sir. He says, pardon me. He says, you charge for the kiddies? So the guy looks at all the kids. He says, no, they ride free. He says, thank you. Going, kiddies. Mama and Papa will walk.
Well, you rode just as far as you could go, Joe, right up the top of the Colgate-Palmolive Laugh Meter, but it was a very ineffectual move because it only ties Mrs. Ledger's 1,000. However, it's a splendid effort, old boy. Senator, are you adjusting your glasses or do you have your hand up?
Well, I'm doing a little of both. I don't waste any energy at all, you know. I put my hand up with my glasses. Well, a fellow by the name of Homer Feamsby, when he first was married, he was getting $15 a week. So the first week, he gave his wife $14 and he kept a dollar. Then the next week, he kept $14 and gave his wife a dollar. And she said, just a minute, how do you expect me to manage on a dollar? He said, I don't know, I had a rotten time last week, now it's your turn.
Matter of fact, you had a very good time, Senator. Another 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive Laugh Meter. Perfect round is in the possible making, dependent largely upon the efforts of Harry Hirschfield.
Last night, a fellow named Dr. DeSola, this is on the level, told me this story about a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist in his office, and in walks his aide, and he says, there's a Professor Schulzenheimer outside, wants to see you at once. He said, could it be Professor Schulzenheimer, the great psychiatrist? What does he want to see me about? Bring him right in. So in comes Professor Schulzenheimer. He says, Professor Schulzenheimer, I'm glad to see you. Glad to see you. What is the reason for this great honor, this visit? He says, sir, I don't know. I feel puzzled and upset. Something bothers me. And I want you to examine me. He said, examine you? Examine you? When you're a psychiatrist yourself? He says, I know it, but I'm too expensive.
Well, that did it, Harry. That completed the perfect round. Next joke comes from Julia Clordy of Somerville, Massachusetts. And the subject of this round is emergency. Emergency. So, Peter,
ring
the bell.
He had one a minute ago.
Huh? He was in one then.
Well, it's about a doctor. You know the great job they do. And this doctor was sleeping one night, and he'd been so tired. He'd been working all day and working at the clinic and everything, taking care of his patients. And then this epidemic of measles broke out. He was on the phone all day making spot announcements. And, oh, he was tired. And finally he gets home, and he flops into bed. And about 4:30 in the morning, there's a banging on the door. The poor guy can't ignore it, naturally, being a doctor, so he pulls himself out of bed, and he sneaks downstairs, opens the door, and there's a little old farmer standing at the door.
He says, "Hey, doctor," he says, "come with me to Miller's Falls right away. This is an emergency. You gotta hurry. Come on, hurry up."
So the poor doctor with red eyes and everything, he goes upstairs, and he throws on his clothes, and he comes down in about 5 minutes, and he says, "Where do you say we're supposed to go?" The guy says, "You gotta go to Miller's Falls. Come on, hurry up." Doctor says, "Gee, that's nearly 45 miles. Okay, I'll get the car." So he gets in the car, and they drive, tearing through the countryside, trying to get to this place. Finally, they get there, and the man jumps out of the car, and the doctor's about to follow him. The old farmer pushes him back in the seat.
He says, "Now, doctor, just wait a minute now. How much is your fee?"
Doctor says, "Well, it's a fine time to ask me." He says, "I charge $3. So the guy reaches in his pocket, and he peels off $3.
He says, "You know, doc, you're very reasonable, because when I missed my train, the taxi wanted $15 to drive me over here."
Right back in form again, Pete, with a resounding 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter, an automatic 25 to Miss Cloherty before we start listening, and the first one to whom we listen this time is Joe Laurie Jr.
Well, Umbriago. Umbriago comes home, sees a note on the table, grabs the note, and runs to the hospital. Runs to the hospital, says, "Hey, is Mrs. Umbriago here?" "Who?" "Umbriago." They look through the books. "No, there's no..." "Oh," he says, "she must have been here in the hospital." He says, no, there's nobody by the name of Mrs. Umbriago here." "What makes you think she's here?" He says, "Oh, she must be here in this hospital, some hospital." He says, "What would make you think she's in the hospital?" He says, "Look at this note." He says, "Dear Tony, sorry to leave the house. I had to go to get my kimono cut out."
Well, Joe, that's a hard one to call my shots on. The Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter gave that 50, then 350, then 650. I don't know. It was three climaxes.
One
there.
Good bump to some another. Here I go again.
Well, you know what the answer is. If I want my kimono, don't give it to me. That's the gag.
Combine the two jokes, huh? Well, anyway, we'll settle for a rough 350 in there. It isn't going to put you anywhere anyway, Joe.
I know another one that's better. Anyone is better.
Well, you want to put it in now?
Well, the hospital calls up the mother-in-law of a fella. Says, "You're this man's mother-in-law, aren't you? Mrs. Smith's mother-in-law?" She says, "Yes." She says, "Well, it's a very big emergency." He says, "He was in an accident, and he needs a transfusion. And he's your son-in-law, and we've tried all types of blood and can't find the right type for him." She says, "Did you try skunks?" Had to get the kimono cut out anyway.
We won't even mention that, Joe. While you go over and commune with Pete, we'll move on over now to Harry Hirschfield.
Do you give me a little minute to see if my teeth are in tight? The phone in the rectory rings, and the minister answers the phone, and a voice at the other end says, "Listen, Mulligan, we're short of whiskey over here. Send your bartender over right away. We've got to have the whiskey right away. 4 quarts of whiskey." The minister recognizes the voice of one of his parishioners, oh, that thing. And he says, "This is the minister." He said, "Oh, what are you doing in Mulligan's dive?"
All right, Harry, 1,000 was the amount on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter again. So that puts you up in a tie with Miss Cloherty, but not past her. And, Senator, how about you this time?
Well, this is a short one you can take or leave. I don't care. There's a guy relating his adventures to Tilly Numbnut. And he said, "You know, I was shipwrecked one time, and for a whole week I lived on a can of sardines." She said, "For a whole week you lived on a can of sardines? How did you walk around on it?"
Still have to get his kimono cut off.
Well, now comes the gag. Well, I said it didn't count. He could take it or leave it. Screwball Jake's wife is about in the same class with him. She's a little bit goofy in an ignorant sort of way. And one time they went on a sea voyage, and the third night out, a storm came up. So Jake woke his wife up, and he said, "Phoebe, the boat is leaking." She said, "Do the same as we do home with the icebox. Put a pan under it and go to sleep."
Much better, Senator. In fact, that flicked around, that was one of those sneaky 1,000s there. Yeah, according to Mr. Colgate and Mr. Palmolive, all three of you were out on a wild goose chase that time. So the glad tidings are that we send Miss Clarity $25 with the compliments of Palmolive Shave Cream and a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. Now here's Dan Donaldson with the biggest shaving news in history.
Men, do you shave with a lather or brushless shave cream? Palmolive Shave Cream comes both ways, and whichever method you use, you'll find the new Palmolive Shave Cream way to shave means more comfortable, actually smoother shaves for 3 men out of every 4.
Okay, fellas, here's another fresh start for you. Here's a joke sent in by Mrs. Donald Primo of Detroit, Michigan, and this is on the subject this time of praise. Praise. So, Peter, tell it, and we'll see if
we can
sing you.
What do you mean, P-R-A-Y-S?
No, P-R-A-I-S-E.
Praise. Oh.
Proving that we can both spell.
Well, this is about Mr. and Mrs. Abercrombie for Fufnik, and they get on very well. They're a nice married couple, except for one thing, that no matter what she cooked for this poor man, he never complimented her on it. Nothing she cooked pleased him. And she's going crazy, trying to cook something nice, fancy dishes and everything. No, it wasn't good enough for him. So every dinner she cooked, she'd ask him, she'd say, "Abercrombie, darling, sisters, how was the dinner?" She says, "Did you like the soup?"
"This is not enough noodles."
She said, "Would you put the seal of approval on the oxtail?"
He said, "The oxtail, this is the part of the oxtail I ate wasn't near enough the ox. Don't worry."
So the poor woman is going crazy, never a word of praise, and she's getting hysterical with this thing and trying to get a kind word about her cooking. So one morning, she said, "Honeysuckle," she says, "cure the face." She said, "How would you like for breakfast a nice plate of scrambled eggs?"
She said, eggs, every morning eggs. He says, "Why couldn't we once in a while have something a little different, like pancakes?"
She says, "Pancakes, all right, honey." She says, "You'll sit there, I'll go in the kitchen, and I'll flip your flapjack right away." So she rushes in the kitchen, she gets all the cookbooks, and she starts making pancakes to try and please this man. Finally, she brings in the pancakes, and she waits for see how he'll react in each one.
She says, "Daphne, the pancakes are not bad."
She says, "Oh, they're not bad. That's wonderful."
She said, "They're also fluffy."
She says, "You're fluffy. You like it. Fluffy."
She says, "Besides this, she says, they are tasty."
She says, "Also tasty. That's wonderful."
He says, "Also," he says, "they are golden brown and crispy crunchy."
She says, "Boy, is that wonderful. I'm glad they're crispy crunchy." And this is the first time she's so happy because she's finally going to please the guy. She says, "You mean, darling, you like the pancakes?"
He says, "Yeah, but confidentially, they're not as round as they should be."
Very vigorous 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter then, Pete. So, Mrs. Primo is very happy about the whole thing. That's 25 before we start. And Senator, I think your hand was raised first.
Well, you've heard a lot of dialects on this program. I have one I'm going to tell. It's unusual. I'm going to tell it in firefly dialect. This little firefly was the first time he began to fly around out of his nest. And he was given out with a taillight. Always having a lot of fun. The taillight was going like the dickens. And the fond firefly, the fond mother of the firefly, looked at the father and said, "Bright for his age, isn't he?"
Well, 500...
Well, nobody knows what a firefly talks like, so I guess I was right.
You could have fooled me, Senator. 500 on the Colgate Palmolive of laugh meter, and now Harry Hirschfield.
Pete keeps reminding me of Gags and his food thing. There's a kid at home, and he's studying his history book. The teacher told him, she said, "So the father's always asking Popnikov, he's saying, 'Bring me a glass of water. Every 5 minutes, a glass of water.' He
says, Papa, the teacher says I'm a very bright boy and I might amount to something. He said I should read the history book and study about great men. Great men, and I'll be like them.
Father said, don't be foolish.
Great men. Was Napoleon a big man? Said, yeah. Was Bismarck a big man? Said, yeah. So after all, they're big heroes. They were big generals, and they were big kings. And how did it end up? Today, Napoleon is a cake, and Bismarck is a herring.
Colgate, Palm Olive, last week, Harry. Well, Joe, if you can think of a quick one, here we go again.
Claiborne meets his friend Montgomery, and is raving about his kid. He says, have I got a baby? Oh, have I got a baby? She says, you should hear the baby go, ooh, oog, oog, oog. And walks a little bit, and says, gaga. She says, ah, that's a baby. You should hear my baby. Ah. When I'm leaving in the morning, she says, Papa, Papa, don't stay long in the office. Papa, bring me bum-bums. Papa, come home early. He says, oh, that's remarkable. He says, and so distinct and plain she talks. He says, how old is the baby? She'll be 12 years old tomorrow.
Well, Joe, that wasn't enough to get up to 1,000, but Mrs. Primo now has $25 for the compliments of Palm Olive Shave Creams and a phonograph record of Pete Donald telling her story on the air, and we don't have any time left either. So, friends, join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford, next week. Same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old, and until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And Dan Donaldson saying goodnight for the Colgate Palm Olive Pete Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palm Olive Shave Creams for smoother, more comfortable shave.
Can You Top This? On Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of December, 1947 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of quiz shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBounier. It's been a pleasure.